And so last week, Ella did Luke 1, and she spoke about Mary and when the angel went to Mary and so on. So we are going on Luke 2, which is a very exciting one. I was like, oh, wow, actually getting to speak of the birth of Jesus Christ. That was wonderful, isn't it? To actually be able to speak about the birth of our Savior. Because without Jesus, we would not have that bridge where we can actually communicate with God. So we're just going to do a little back and forth, because we know that Mary was pregnant with the Messiah. She was pregnant with the promised King that would come and save all of us. And Ella spoke about Mary being a virgin. And as I was doing Luke 2, I was thinking like, how did God actually bring this into play? How would he have been thinking? Because, okay, you're going to get a virgin to bring Jesus into the world, because we know he needs a clean and pure vessel, someone that has not been contaminated sexually. So Mary was that person. But then I was thinking like, okay, God, you said that one of David's descendants will always sit on the throne. So that is where then the Holy Spirit came in, and I was able to understand, even yet knowing but not really diving into it, that Joseph also was a very important factor in the birth of Jesus. Even though he did not impregnate Mary, they needed a guardian, a protector for Mary, because she was carrying the Messiah. And anything that is priceless, anything that is of value, it has security. It has something or someone to protect it. We just can't go into a store where there's jewelry and expensive diamonds are out in the open. It's locked. They have a key to open it. And I was like, God, you always have a plan for everything. So then it took me to Ruth. Ruth was with her husband for 10 years or maybe 15. She never got pregnant. And it didn't say that she was barren. It just says she never conceived. But as we learn about Jesus, we can understand why Ruth never conceived, because her husband was not on David's lineage. So therefore, even if she did give birth to a child, that child will not have really fulfilled the purpose that God wanted for Joseph. So then, this is how it goes. Ruth and Boaz, then Boaz got Obed. Obed got Jesse. Jesse gave birth to David. And then Joseph came off of the lineage of David. And he came into play, because then there was Mary. So you see, the thing that I love about God, he never leaves you on your own. And the thing is that Mary could have been thinking, well, she was thinking, maybe this man is going to leave me, because you're going to go and tell someone, your fiance, that you're pregnant. And you're going to say to him, I was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. As much as we believe in God, that sounds hilarious and out of this world. I'll be like, you're crazy. But you know, he didn't believe. And that's the thing. He did not believe, but he didn't speak it out loud. He kept it in his heart and in his mind. And he said, okay, when we get to Bethlehem, I would divorce her. Just let her go, that I don't disgrace her. And he kept it in his heart. But then the angel came and spoke to him. And he was able then to understand, okay, what Mary has said is true. And the thing about it, God had a redemption plan from the beginning. God knew that I am going to need Mary at some point in time. Because if I don't get Mary, he could bring Jesus, he could. But I like the way that he brought Jesus into this world humbly, as a mere human, for us to understand that anything that we have faced, Jesus faced it as well. And the word said it, and he overcome it. Because imagine Mary carrying Jesus. Like, that's like, wow. Imagine how she must have felt when the angel said, you have been found righteous in the sight of God. But Mary herself still did not understand the assignment of what she was going to do. She did not understand that she was carrying the Messiah that was going to change an entire world. Because I believe if she knew, maybe she would have said, God, I am not the person for that one. But she was, you know, she was so humble, and she was like, how is it going to happen? And then we'll go back to Elizabeth. Now, if Mary had said, God, I don't believe, to the angel Gabriel, I don't believe that this could have happened, that would have put a delay in the process of Jesus coming. She would have done it, or maybe he would have had a second person, but it would have delayed the process. And now we can understand why the Lord muted Zacharias. Because if Zacharias had spoke, the disbelief that was in his heart, maybe Elizabeth herself would have the disbelief. She would not have conceived, and it would have been a halt. Because remember, John the Baptist did not move in Elizabeth's womb until Mary went to visit her. And that was the first time the Bible said the child moved. Now, come on, are we putting it together? Even before Jesus was entered into this world, he had power. He had authority. He was recognized from a seed as the Messiah. That John in Elizabeth's womb knew that this is the Messiah. And when he enters, or when he comes into the same proximity as me, I need to be rejoicing. Because you know what? I'm making a way for the Messiah. And that's a beautiful thing. It's priceless, but it is a wonderful thing to be able to clear the way for the Messiah. And you know, as I was preparing this message, this song came into my head. Pastor Rob should know it. I think it was Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers that sang it. And all the world rejoiced because the king was born at last. It's a Christmas song. And it was, the words are, Savior have been promised, now it had come to pass. And all the world rejoiced. And I was like, as a child, I used to love to listen to that song, not really understanding the concept of the song. Because the world did rejoice because the Messiah was coming. So are we still rejoicing today? Okay, so I've just picked a few verses out because it was a lot. So we're going to go to verse 16, and it's Luke 2. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph. So these are the shepherds who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now here we go again about the word. The shepherds heard the word. They went and they saw the child. They could have kept that information to themselves, but they shared that word. And in sharing that word, it was all the good news was spreading of the Messiah that was coming. And that is the job that we of children of God are here to do. We are supposed to spread the good news. We're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. If God has done something in our lives, we're supposed to share it, that glory can be brought unto his name. God is not a selfish God. He's not, I'm a God for Emma and I'm not a God for Lucy. He is a God for everyone, because even when we were sinners, he still loved us. Because if we go back to our life, we weren't always walking with the Lord, but we were kept. We were protected like a diamond, because God knew at some point in time, he's going to say, okay, enough, get here. And we are going to turn our lives around, and then we are going to start to serve the Lord, and we're going to realize that we were made for more than what we were doing in the past. And it's all because of the birth of Jesus that we are even able to repent, that we are even able to go to God and have a second and third and a fourth chance. Because we know that back in the days, when it was Moses and Abraham's days, anything you did, what you it was death, because you had to wait like maybe 30 or 40 days before the priest could cleanse themselves and go into the temple and pray for you. By the time the priest gets there, he prays for two people, he's forgotten your own cause. So you've not even been prayed for. But because of Jesus being born, and that speaks of the love of God, when he said he does not want anyone to perish, because God knew without bringing Jesus into play, the entire world that he created for the people that he loved would perish. And he would have to destroy His perfect creation. Because as much as we are sinful, he still says that we are his masterpiece. And a working masterpiece, because we know every day is a process with us. And that is why he is God, because he is patient. And he's not like man. He doesn't get tired of us. Sometimes when I'm reading the Old Testament and I read and see God said he's turned his face from them. They will not enter into the land. He will perish them. Destruction comes on them. And I look at the things that I have done before I knew God. And even some of the mistakes that I made. And I'm like, God, you are faithful. Thank you that you did not say you will turn your face from me or don't come into your presence. But your arms are always open for me to repent and come back. Now, if we do not realize that Jesus himself is the cause of this, we are lost. But don't get it twisted. Do not separate the three. Do not separate the three. God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do not separate the three, because our Christian walk is nothing without it. Even though it's three, it's still one. But with three different purposes. So we need to understand. God is wonderful. God is so good. Like, we do not even deserve to be calling on his name. But his love is just like, there's no words to even put into play how good God is, because we can never describe him. Amen. Okay, so then, we know that Isaiah also spoke about the coming of the Messiah many years before it actually happened. He spoke about it. And it makes me wonder, when Isaiah was speaking about the coming of the Messiah, if people actually did believe in that time that Jesus was coming. And if he was coming, nobody would have pictured that he would have been born by a virgin. Now picture this for women. That we give birth. Imagine what Mary went through, laying in a manger, giving birth to Jesus, and she was contented. Some of us, we want water births. We want to do Pilates, whichever one you can have, all these different births. We want our births to be videoed and posted on YouTube that everybody can see what is going on. But Mary gave birth to Jesus in a manger. Dirty place, kind of, with sheep and goats and all these stuff around. Imagine the smell. But that shows the humbleness, that Jesus was so humble in the birth, that he came and was born in a manger. So that speaks to us as well. Why do we think that we are so proud? Why do we carry so much pride when we have done nothing at all to be applauded for? But Jesus, that has done everything and is still doing everything and still interceding for us on the right hand of God, came and was born in a manger and lived a human life and suffered a human life, even though he knew that he was the Son of God in the flesh. Amen. So we are going to jump to verse 26. from 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple's court. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of the nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Excuse me. So Simeon was promised something by God. He was promised that he would not die until he had seen the coming of the Messiah. And the thing about Simeon, when he saw Jesus, I don't even think he was so excited about seeing Jesus. I think he was more excited about going home. Because he was like, "Lord, as you've promised, you can now dismiss your servant." He blessed Jesus, but he was looking forward to going home to be with God, because he knew until Jesus come, he would not be able to go home. So for him, it was a double blessing. I've seen the Messiah. Now I'm going to see God. I'm ready. And imagine waiting all that time for the Messiah to come so that you can go home and be with the Lord. Imagine the joy that he had to be feeling to know that maybe when I walk out now and I go on my bed, I'm not getting up again. When I wake up, I'm in heaven. I've done my part. Imagine that is a blessing to know, like, okay, this is the day that I'm going to die, because the word that the Lord has spoken is coming to pass. I am excited. I don't need to pack any bags. I don't need a passport, anything. I've got free passage straight to heaven. Amen.
And then we'll jump to 29 and 30. Well, we've read that already, sorry. 33.
The child's father and mother marveled at what was said. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul." Now imagine hearing that about your child, because I know Mary did not understand the assignment that was coming. Because everything that she heard about Jesus or that was prophesied, it says she kept it in her heart. She held on to it like a treasure, because God said to the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "You will give birth to a son and he will save the world." But the angel did not go into anything else specific to say to Mary, "You will see the things that this child is going to go through, or you're going to see the miracles that this child is going to perform, or this child is not just an ordinary child." So for her, she's raising an ordinary little boy. But to hear that he's going to be the rising and falling of many nations, obviously you will treasure it in your heart. And the part that he said, "And a sword will pierce your own heart." Now, Mary didn't even understand the sword that was going to pierce her own heart. I mean, it's just going to go forward a little bit. It's when Jesus was going to be crucified. Because imagine you as a mother giving birth to a child and raising him, them to see your child whipped with the flesh taken from his back, thorns put on his head, and crucified on a cross. A child that God came and said to you, "You are righteous to give birth to," and then he's taken from you that way. Come on now, Mary had to be conflicted in so many ways. But during Mary's conflict, she not once did the word of God said that she questioned God. She treasured everything in her heart, and she just went with it as it was going. She rolled with the times. Mary was a woman of faith, even though they don't really speak much about Mary, but Mary had faith, because she understood that if an angel can say to me that I will conceive and I conceive, anything is possible with God. And if he's chosen me, then he will guide me. He will lead me, because God cannot come and say to you that you are righteous in his sight, "I've chosen you," and then throw you out to the wolves. He has to have a plan. He has to have a process to take you through. He might not tell us the plan. We might not know where we are going, but trust and believe the plan will be revealed, and he will prepare our hearts to accept what is coming, because he is God. And he's not interested in our comfort. He's interested in the process and the purpose, because everything must bring glory to his name. Jesus wasn't born to just walk the earth and do miracles and touch everyone. Yes, that was part of the process, but Jesus' main purpose was to come and be the sacrificial lamb. That was the reason of the birth. No other reason. But because he is Jesus, he had to do miracles. He had to bless people. He had to give people hope. He also had to bring glory to God's name for the time that he was on earth. Because at the end of the day, it's his Father. And what he has come to do is to bring glory unto his Father's name. And we are children of God. Our purpose is to bring glory unto the name of God as well. Every action that we do, every word that we speak is supposed to bring glory unto the name of God. Yes, we fall short, But we are supposed to get better and better every single day. Because we want to be righteous in the sight of God. And righteousness is not a one-day process. And none of us are perfect, because there's only one person that ever walked this earth that was perfect, and that was Jesus. Amen. So then we're going to jump over to 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Now, when I read that, I was thinking like, well, Jesus, you're a bit naughty. Why would you have stayed behind and not tell your parents that you're staying behind? But it was not even that Jesus was naughty. It was the pulling of the word. The pulling him to the temple. Mary and Joseph didn't understand, but Jesus knew deep within him, like, I need to be in this temple. I need to be where they say that is my Father's house. I need to know the word. I need to sit with people of wisdom. Mary and Joseph, I believe they knew the word, but not the way that Jesus needed it. So it's like you have a mentor. They will mentor you for certain things, but then everything practical you have to do on your own. Jesus had a mind of his own. They were ready to go back. Jesus still wanted more wisdom. Jesus still wanted more knowledge. So he decided, I'm going to stay back in this temple and just wait here and dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen. And then it says, thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts. Very bad parents. After 3 days, you found your child. Imagine that. I was like Mary and Joseph. How big is your family that it took you 3 days to find Jesus? But in that 3 days, imagine the anointing that fell on Jesus. Imagine the wisdom that he acquired. Imagine the filling that he got, because he was around maybe 14 years at the time. Imagine a child that age so dedicated to the things of God, that he is willing to go away from his parents. Because in reality, Mary and Joseph were just partakers. God is the real father. So despite whatever they would have done, he still would have followed the word of God and the nagging of the Holy Spirit in his heart. Not that he was disobedient, but he was wise in where he needed to be. Because it could be that it was not the right time for him to travel back. But because they usually go back at that time, they wanted to stick to routine. But Jesus wanted to stay to have more of an infilling. And then it goes on to say, Sorry, guys. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and answering them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I will be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said, what he was saying to them. You see, Jesus was a bit like me. "Why are you looking for me? You didn't know I was in my father's house." He said that. "Why are you looking for me?" Because Jesus is expecting that they should have known that he would have been in his father's house. Because he said it. "Why are you looking for me? Did you not know And he said, did you not know? So he expected them to know that that is where he would have been, in his father's house. Yet again, it shows that they did not understand the child that was among them. Because if he had to ask you, did you not know? You're lost. You do not understand what it is that I am supposed to do. And therefore, you cannot even understand what you were supposed to do. Because if I have to tell you the reason why I would be in my father's house, you don't understand. Because where else would I be other than my father's house in that festival season? Amen? So Jesus knew what he was supposed to do at a young age. But the thing that I love about it is that it took time. Even though he understood, it took time. It was a process. It was not that he just got up one day and he began healing and he began touching people. It's from a child, it takes steps. And you walk, you creep before you walk. And then you can run. And it was a journey with Jesus, and he did it. And he just kept going and going until it was time that he was able to reveal who he really was. And it also says again here, Mary kept, it said, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Mary kept all of these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and structure. So the more that Jesus was on earth, the more wisdom of God was poured on him. The more he acquired, and he was able then to give out. Because he wanted to spend so much time in the temple, because he knew in the temple is where he will receive the anointing. But look at how good things are for us now because of the birth of Jesus. We don't need to be in a church. We don't need to be in a temple to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We can receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God right where we are. We don't have a time to allocate for when we will pray. We don't have a time to go to the priest. We can pray anywhere. And it's because of the birth of Jesus that we have been given these things. That these things are accessible to us. And we don't need to wait for the Passover festival to say, you know what, I'm going and pray. You can just get off your bed and you can begin to pray. You can be driving at work and begin to pray. So with all things, and because of Jesus, we have all of these things. And the birth of Jesus is what have acquired us these things and the love of God. So as much as we look at all the other things that Jesus would have done throughout Luke, this is the beginning of everything. This is the beginning of how it started. Because if Jesus was not born, if Mary had not agreed to be the vessel to bring Jesus into the world, we would not be here today. Maybe the world would have come to an end. But thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God for the part that Mary played. And thank God for Jesus and that he is true to his word. And everything that God has spoken, everything that has been written in this words, in this book by the apostles that walked the earth, believe that it is true. Because we have seen some of it in our lives. And we know that God's word will never return back to him void. And if God can give his only son for us, what else would he withhold from us? Nothing. So in everything that we do, let us be grateful. Let us be thankful. Call on the name of Jesus, because it is the name above all names. And there's power in the name of Jesus. And if we call on him and we use it, we will see changes. There's no more time to be wasted, guys, because we don't know when the world is going to come to an end. So everything that we have, let us start to use it, because we have been equipped for this journey. Amen? Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross for us. Lord, we thank you for everything that you have done and everything that you are still doing. Father God, we thank you for the ones that are here today and even the ones that were not here today. Father God, we ask that you meet each one at the point of their contact. Father God, we ask for your protection throughout this week. Cover and watch over us, our children, our loved ones. Father God, let your name be glorified in everything that we do and everything that we say. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Praise the Lord. Right, I'm going to tell you off now. We've got to stop this clapping, right? Seriously. The Lord's convicted me over this over a few weeks. They clapped me the other night at Bryn when I preached. And I felt a bit of a rush of, hey, aren't I great? And I shouldn't have felt that at all. It should have been the word of God that was revered. So, I know what you mean. You can say amen, you can shout out and do what you want, but let's not clap anymore. Is that fair? Am I being mean? I really felt it last week, really badly. I thought, I shouldn't be doing this. Anyway, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do tonight, because we had a little bit of a theological split, if you like, a theological difficulty between two or three people. And I think it's clear that not all Christians know exactly what they believe. Don't even know what they believe, but they don't know what probably they ought to believe or what the Bible says. So for the next 26 weeks at Bryn, I'm going to preach or teach more than preach what I believe the Bible says on the very serious subjects. Like, is God a spirit? This is tonight. God is a spirit. No one has seen God. Is Jesus God? Some people struggle with the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, but is he actually God? So over the 26 weeks, I am going to do 26 messages. And they're going to come together as a book, because all my life I've wanted to write a book, but I'm going to do it now, and I've got someone who's going to print it for me. But I need help. And the help I need is people to say, hang on, Rob, that's wrong. Because I haven't got the... If men are more learned than me and older in the faith than me can fall out over little issues like this, who say I've got the whole truth? So I'm going to preach it as I see it and as I interpret it. But I really need people to say, not behind my back, not in a corner somewhere, not to each other, which does happen, but to come to me and say, Rob, can you explain that? Because I see that a different way than what you said it. Okay? And by the time I get to the end of this 26 weeks, that's 6 months. Can you stand me for 6 months? I want some questions underneath each chapter. Maybe study questions where there is difficulty. Because there is difficulties in some of the things we believe. There is differences of opinion. But would it not be great to at least know what you believe? Because I know a lot of people don't. So, anyway, that's what we're going to do. So, there's meetings every single Sunday night at Bryn. That's great. On Friday night last week, the one 2 days ago, we had one for children. Honestly, there was more children in there than you've ever seen in one place, except probably school. It was fantastic. And they were from this big all the way up to about 12. And they had a great time doing all sorts of stuff. And that's going to go happen every week from now on. So you might want to help with it. You might not. You might have children you'd like to be at it. That's great. But it's really, really good because we're reaching into the community. And the children weren't church children, because there ain't no children at that church, really, except Steve's two, or three if you count the baby. So they all came out of the community. But they were too young to come out on a Friday night on their own. So guess who brought them? Mums and dads. That's the idea. We're reaching the community. So there you go. That's going on. So thanks for that. She's gone. Oh, no, she's there. Kerry, good word. Good word from Ella as well, wasn't it? She messaged me last night and said, can I do the breaking of bread? God's given me something to do. And I think what God gave her to do was spot on. So there you go. Here's one of them babes now. Praise God. Thank you, Father God, for today's meeting. Thank you, Lord, that we're a family from all around the world. I'm from Europe or Britain. And Ella spoke and she's from Africa. And Kerry spoke and she's from the Americas. Yeah, the West Indies. Three continents in one church in the morning. It's just fantastic, isn't it? What God has done. All different faces, all smiling as well. That's nice. So thank you, Lord, for this lovely family. And we pray your blessing and all the prayers that were prayed before. I prayed a really, really serious prayer, Lord, and I believe you're going to fulfill it. You're going to do it. And I pray for everyone else, Lord, that they would see the desires of their heart come to pass because they delight in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's have a cup of tea. Oh, we're having a song. Sorry, we're having a song and a cup of tea.